Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of One for the Table. I'm your host, Kim Chi.
And I'm John Kung.
You've had a very busy week these... Oh, my God. Let me start over.
Are you okay? Are you hungover?
No, not at all. I actually have never been hungover. I don't know what it feels like.
Really?
Yeah.
You've never drank?
I mean, I've drank, but I've never drunk enough to be hungover.
Oh, interesting. I guess that is true. I've never, as long as I've known you, you've never had alcohol.
I'll taste alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take a sip of someone's wine. I appreciate the taste. And yes, I've been drunk before, but I've never been drunk enough to be hangover.
Yeah, that makes sense. I remember the last time we drank together, we had that red rice infused soju at that Korean restaurant in LA.
Oh, makgeolli.
Yeah, makgeolli. Oh, yeah, that's right. The red rice makgeolli. It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was umami. It was sweet. It was so
good. It's refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really popular drink in Korea in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you've had a very busy week this week.
I have?
I don't know, just based on your social media, you made it seem like you're very busy this week.
Why would I do?
I saw you in front of crowds of people.
Oh, that's right. Oh, that's right. Eric Kim was in town for his book tour. Eric Kim is a cookbook author and New York Times darling. He wrote the cookbook Korean American, and he put me down the path of kimchi sandwiches. We were talking about that earlier before we started the podcast.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't say who is he, but it's for the listeners who doesn't know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
Just to clarify.
Yeah. Eric Kim's awesome. He's doing a tour right now. He's going around United States and just just going. I think he's in Maine right now, but yeah, living his writer fantasy. But yeah, he put me on kimchi sandwiches, which it hits the spot the same way tomato sandwiches do for me, because it's got that tanginess, that nice little bit of acid, but then it's paired with mayo and a touch of sugar on white sandwich bread. Mm, it's so good.
So it's very kimchi southern. In between bread?
It's lots of kimchi. So it's kimchi that you've chopped up.
So it's kimchi between bread?
Yeah. It's still kimchi between bread, but you chopped it up, but then you pair it with, but when you're pairing it with the mayo and the little bit of sugar and just the sandwich, it comes off to me as and I say this as a person who's spent very little time in the South, but it gives Southern to me because it's paired off with that mayo, like a tomato sandwich is. But it's that simplicity with it. It's so good. It's so good. I actually did a video on it. I loved it so much.
Okay. Oh, you love it.
I do. It's going to be an obsession for me for a minute. I might have it again today.
Okay. I mean, live your life to the fullest.
So good.
Are you eating it on a white bread?
I have whole wheat, but it was whole wheat that was baked fresh yesterday by a baker. A boulanger. So it was a really good
thing. You don't have to defend your whole wheat.
I mean, store-bought whole wheat is trash. I don't like it as much as a nice plain white bread, but a well-done whole wheat tastes like it has the faintest hint of honey and nuttiness to it.
And a lot of American processed whole wheat bread, when you look at the nutrition label,
it's actually not better for you. No. There's nothing in there that's good because they add more sugar to make it taste good. But this place is sandwich bread. The place is called Detroit Institute of Bagels. It's where I buy all my bread because they bake it fresh every day. And the crust of it is actually good. And when the crust of your sandwich bread is so good that you don't cut it off, you've got good bread.
Yeah, I feel not liking bread crust is when you grow up eating shitty grocery store bread.
Yes, because it tastes like plastic.
When you get fresh bakery, good bread, the crust is the best part.
Best part. I totally agree. But then when you when you do the crust from store-bought bread, it's almost like that waxy plastic coating that you're supposed to rip off of cheese. It tastes like you're supposed to take it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But good crust is oftentimes the best part.
Same I don't goes know if with it pizza. Was because I grew up in bumfuck Michigan. But did you ever have those people that like refuse to eat like crust on sandwiches. Like they make a personality out of like, oh, I don't do crust. Like my crust has to be cut off.
Yeah, it's giving like... They're also the type of people I picture would yell back at their mothers.
What?
Yeah. I always equated people who did that would be like people who like yelled at their moms or called their parents by their first name.
Is there a huge like subculture of people that yell at their moms?
I don't know. It's just like the kids I knew at school, the ones that like would talk back to their parents. Like that's like the crust cut off people.
I mean, but don't all like teenagers talk back to their parents? Not like, I mean, not to be like...
I'm talking about grade school.
Oh.
Yeah. But I never rebelled against my parents, like outwardly.
I was going to say, like, what Asian kid
yeah.
would rebel
like,
against
and also,
parents?
Like, what Asian kid, like, I mean, like, I get it if you cut the crusts off yourself, but I'm talking about kids that are getting their sandwiches, like, packed for them.
Oh, wait, so they yell at their parents for not cutting the sandwich, not cutting the crust off of their sandwich?
I've seen that before, yeah. Like, that's I remember, thing? Like, yeah.
They're like, they'll kids. Be like, mom, you forgot to, like, cut the sandwich up or it cut the crust be, off the sandwich, I mean, like, fuck you.
It's, well, I mean, whatever. I don't know if they would say
or like, that. I hate you.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, yeah. Kids don't do that.
I mean,
I no,
like
did
white
they?
Kids did. I had like I, the white kids that I knew did.
Actually, you know what? There's a lot of weird people out there.
Yeah.
You know what? Yeah, there are a lot of bratty kids. So, you know? Kids are.
Or it's
horrible,
like you meet them at, and they, I'm sure they turn out to be like awful adults.
Yeah, I'm sure they all grow up to be politicians.
Yeah. It's giving Matt Gaetz.
But okay. Well, anyways, back to the original conversation of
what
you were
it?
Doing before what you're doing
oh, that's
with
right.
Eric.
That's right. So he was in time. So we did like a book tour in celebration of like three of our books because another person, Matt Robard, was also in town for his book stop.
Mm-hmm.
So the three books that were being featured was Korean American by Eric Kim, Korea World by Matt Robard, and Kung Fu.
Oh, nice.
Two Korean books and a Chinese one. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was cool. So we gave like a three-way talk and Detroit really showed up. I was pairing off with my friends Vesper, who is going to be this cookbook shop and wine bar in the city, but they weren't open yet. So we had it at a different venue and it just like, it was amazing. We had like over 100 people were there. It was a good time. Yeah.
So then what'd you guys like talk about?
We talked about like everything from the state of Korean and Asian food in Detroit to like we talked about our books. We talked about like everything. We answered a lot of questions about, you know, anything from content creation to writing to any of that stuff. I think it's really nice to see that like, I don't know, there is an audience for larger name people here in like the food world, or at least the food media world, that is like not just me because I live here. So I'm doing my best to make like Detroit like a stop for a tour stop for like cookbook authors. Like I'm not bringing, but I highly encourage Kushbu to come here and do a tour stop in the Detroit and hopefully when you write
like just a community of like people who
yes. And when you finish writing your book, you should do a tour stop here too.
Yeah.
How is your book?
It's going great, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are some things that you've done for like the book so far? Or what about the writing process and illustrating? You're illustrating too, aren't you?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's there's cool. Two books happening.
That's so exciting.
That's two completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
But the illustration portion, I think... I want to work with, like, an actual, like, comic book artist. So it has,
for
that
sure.
finesse, you know? Like, someone who does it professionally.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it's going good. I'll release more details. I don't want to, like, talk too much about it.
That's right true. Now. Okay, that's fair. It's still a long time coming.
Yeah.
So plenty of time.
Yeah. But, yeah, stay tuned for that. Very excited. I did something fun, or actually did a lot of fun things this week, but one of the thing was I went to like a queer AAPI night market. So then there were all these like queer artists selling these like cool like artwork that they did, and then like a lot of like queer food vendors, but then all the food vendors were all vegan.
Oh.
Or like vegetarian, like all plant based.
Okay.
And then and the tickets were free. Like you just have to like sign up for it, like to reserve your spot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then they give you drink tickets, like 3 drink tickets for free drinks.
Really?
But it was like a fundraiser. So I was like,
how are these people making money?
That's what I was wondering. But I was like, I don't understand like how the whole thing works. But even if they charge $5 for drinks, you know, because it's for a good cause.
Yeah.
People who drink are going to buy drinks.
Right.
You know, whatever it's like, $5
or $10. But like 3 free drinks is a lot of free drinks. Did you get free drinks and other people didn't? Or did everybody? No, I
didn't drink tickets away because I don't drink.
Oh, yeah. But like...
So then, I mean, I'm assuming they had like an alcohol sponsor that allowed them to do this.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's fair.
But then I feel like, I don't know, maybe like, is it me being like capitalistic hoe where I feel like they should have charged me
at least like... It was a fundraiser. Like, the whole point is trying to make money.
Exactly.
For a good cause. $5
for drinks is not a lot, you know, instead of like giving away for free, then it's more money they could have raised towards like good cause.
Right.
Right? Or maybe it's like to support a community, you know, people get enough drinks in LA, like they don't need... Our community does not need any more free alcohol put into our bodies.
Yeah, honestly, especially considering the fact that like everybody there drives. So,
oh yes, that's true. No,
yeah,
yeah, you're right. But some of the food things were like hit or miss.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite thing?
Well, I wasn't like eating that much because you know, like summer body 2026. So I just tasted like everyone else's like food a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But all the food vendors, like the minimum wait for food was like an hour.
Oh.
And I've noticed that that's kind of like an average trend in a lot of these like night markets all across LA, not just this one.
Yeah. Yeah, because you said in the last one that you went to, that wasn't like a queer one, but like you told me like there were lineups.
Like, like hour for food for that one too.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of night markets, but the thing with night markets in Asia is they work because all the food comes out instantly.
Right.
All the night markets here, if I have to wait an hour for fried food.
Yeah. What?
Like there's
that doesn't make sense. Why is it taking so long?
Exactly. So I think there's something wrong with the business model.
Mm-hmm. You know? Or like the thing that there's these processes like you should be totally like editing and catering to like what your limitations are to get food out as fast as possible. If that means like cooking a bunch of it beforehand or having it ready or making it super simple. Like you shouldn't be trying to do restaurant food in a night market because that takes too long.
Exactly. Or like serve food that is like stewed or, you know, something like
that. Or just focus on one thing. Like, don't do a menu. Just, like, literally just serve one thing.
And even if you just did one thing, people will buy it, you know?
Yeah, people will buy it. Because, like, the whole point is to, like, sample a bunch of stuff from other people, not just, like, order everything from one place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I have to, like, order... Yeah, like, my friend, he just ordered chicken tenders. Like, vegan chicken tenders with fries. And that took an hour.
No, then just go out to eat.
Which we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, the food aspect definitely needs some work. But then there are other vendors who are selling, like, pastries. And my friend Tiffany's business, like, Loaf Language, she had her mochi crispies, which are, like, these, like, Rice Krispie treat things with, like, mochi and different fun flavors.
I saw a video. I saw a TikTok the other day that I'm, like, really shocked that it didn't occur to me to try it.
Mm-hmm.
But someone toasted a Rice Krispie treat over a campfire.
Okay, I can see that.
And I'm just like...
A marshmallow.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's so obvious.
It's like crispy
obvious.
Marshmallow.
Yeah, could you imagine like toasted Rice Krispie? That sounds so good. Like you'd have to watch out for it to be burnt, like didn't burn. But I was like, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. I remember when I was in the Boy Scouts and then we like make fire. We'd like toast all sorts of like weird shit that like we brought.
Like not campfire like, corn is my favorite thing.
Yeah, campfire corn is good. But we weren't that sophisticated. Mostly because all the people that are you know, the food, camping as a Boy Scout is also another like very traumatizing experience for me.
Oh, why?
So, you know, like to get water, we have to like go get water from like a water supply that's like, you know, like half mile or a mile away, right?
Oh, God. Okay.
And you know, we're all like middle school, like high school boys, right? And in my troop was majority like all white kids.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I get like water supplies, they turn all the water into like Tang or Kool-Aid.
Oh, God. Okay.
Just like sweet, like syrupy water.
Yeah.
And then so when I'm like parched and like need to drink water, like all the water is just like this like sweet, sugary thing.
Which makes you just as thirsty. It's not quenching.
Yeah. It's like, why do you have to turn like everything into like these like sweet syrupy things? And then like the food we make would be like bologna sandwiches, and then like a hot meal would be like those like jambalaya packets with like hot dogs like on it in it, or
oh God.
Oh. But wait, how
meanwhile, do I get to- like Asians who go camping now just bring like instant hot pots.
Yeah.
And they bring Korean barbecue.
Korean barbecue and then cup noodles.
And then tons of cup noodles.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they make super spicy cup noodles for people who want to go camping. Although I would never do that because...
Why would you want to have like diarrhea in the woods?
I was about to say, could you imagine a spicy shit in the woods?
Yeah.
That no, is... Like, no. Uh-uh.
Unless I was like glamping. You know, and I had like a beautiful like toilet mm-hmm. like system.
Yes. I have looked those up recently. I have had the urge to like find a glamping like space around mm-hmm. me in Michigan and just like take one of my dogs and write or something. What? What's so funny? Why did that elicit that kind of response? There was nothing I said. There was nothing I said just now that warranted all of this.
I just imagine like you in the woods, like wind blowing across your just like taking out your journal and just like writing it in with like a cup of tea.
Oh my God. It's not like a Nancy Myers film. I just want like feel like it would be good to do it there because I wouldn't have any distractions because there'd be like no internet and stuff. And I just,
I'm sure. Yeah. Just get up to the society.
Book. Yeah.
Just you and your thoughts and your feelings.
Oh my God.
I couldn't help but wonder. What are we as human beings?
Oh my God. That's not the kind of writing that I do, but okay.
Oh yeah, what kind of writing are you gonna do?
Another cookbook.
I'm sure, yeah. Campfire recipes. Okay. But anyways, yeah, we used to toast like all sorts of like weird shit and Boy Scouts. That's what I was gonna say.
So were you out of town? What did you get? I saw that you were all dolled up yesterday. What did you get painted for?
I can't say it because of NDAs.
Oh.
Okay, another note. I know you hate perfume and like cologne and like these like artificial scentings.
Mm-hmm.
But Margiela released this like replica perfume series.
Oh.
And all the smells are like a fresh take on like scents that are like around us.
Okay.
And one of the scents is called like In the Garden. And it smells just like fresh tomatoes.
Ooh, I could do that.
And I went and smelled it, and it does smell like fresh tomatoes, so I bought a bottle.
Nice. I don't mind smells. It really just depends. My nose is super sensitive to like certain kinds of the artificial scents.
Mm-hmm.
But if like the place uses like 100% like botanical scents and stuff, those are usually fine mm-hmm. for me. They don't get me kind of like any kind of allergic response. Although, do you know the underwear brand Charlie?
Yeah.
So they have a cologne that's out right now that I'm like obsessed with. It smells like a sexy man, pretty much.
Now, what constitutes a sexy man for you?
It's like, I don't know. It's
like armpits and leather?
It's a little bit of like musky, but like, you know, in the way that perfumes can have a little musk to them. There's mm-hmm. like hints of leather. There's hints of smoke. It's kind of scotchy. Like it's like deep. It's deep. It's just like, it's deep, smoky, sophisticated, and just a tiny bit. Just a touch of dirty. Like it's very sexy. It's very sexy to me.
Oh, so you're into that little.
That's just a lick. Just a kiss. Mm-hmm. Just a kiss.
That little like that little essence of like cumin or something at the the finishing touch.
Yeah. I'm into it.
And you know
it.
Exactly what the flavor is too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you know, you know. Yeah.
Mm.
Well, I'll have to smell it.
Yeah.
When you come visit, you're in like a week.
Am I coming in a week?
Wait, aren't you? Literally.
Oh my
like
god, it's
a
May.
Week from today.
Oh wow. I didn't know it was
a
I'm coming
today,
on the 13th.
Right?
On the 13th. Oh,
okay. I guess a week and a day from today.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay.
I'm gonna be over there for 10 days.
I know. What time are you coming in on Monday? That day.
Let me see. I'm leaving poor little John here all alone for 10 days.
Do you think he'll survive? What if he gets salmonella again?
Oh, God. I'm pretty sure. He's really into the vegan meats now for that reason.
Oh, really?
He's kidding.
Traumatized?
Like, it was such a harrowing experience for him that now he eats, like, the vegan meat. He makes like vegan chicken bits for himself when he's like home alone.
Like if you cook me for him, he'll eat it, but he won't cook it himself. Kind of a deal.
Pretty much.
Oh my god, poor John.
So yeah, I leave on the 13th and I arrive at 6:05 p.m.
6 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
6 p.m. So I'll miss traffic.
And by the time you like you land and get luggage and all that,
So you can get dinner.
Do I want to get dinner?
Fine, then. I will find dinner on my own.
What are things you want to eat in LA when you come here?
Always, you know, I want to hit the good stuff. Korean food, tacos.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had good tacos this year.
This year?
Yeah. I live in Michigan.
Oh. That sucks.
And people here are going to be like, oh my God, well, no, Southwest Detroit. It was like those, okay, it's good Mexican food, but it's still Mexican food that had been like catered to the Midwest palate for many, many generations. Like it is, I'm sorry, it is not the same. It is not the same as LA street tacos.
It's true. When you go to like a restaurant, tacos just aren't as good as like the ones you get from the street.
From the street. It has nothing to do with ambiance. It has nothing to do with any of that. It's just like for some reason, it's so good. And I will say that like New York, no, there are no good tacos in New York. I said it. Rick Martinez said it. Mm-hmm. I'm not the only person. What's his face? Pedro Pascal. Said it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I just know Pedro Pascal said it. I'm not sure if Rick Martinez said that there are no good tacos in New York. But anyways.
Meanwhile, Rick Martinez going like, how dare he?
I know. Not you misquoting Rick Martinez.
I'm sure David Chang has said something like that. New York has no good tacos.
Yeah, but when he says it, it sounds like.
Come to Momofuku.
Offensive. But yeah, maybe it's like bagels. It's like I'm not going anywhere else besides New York for bagels.
That's true. Yeah.
Although I have heard that the California bagel is a thing.
Yeah, actually.
I would try that. I would try that actually.
Yeah, there is actually a couple really good bagel spots that popped up here in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it has to go viral, and then there's a line out the door.
Oh.
And But it's okay. We can go on a weekday lunchtime when, you know, there's no line. Which,
in the middle of a work day.
As someone with, like, a non-traditional, like, job, I love.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, the last thing that we do is go out on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, because like we don't want to like fight the crowds for anything.
It's true. And I do love my friends who work 9 to 5. They're all great. But they're like, oh, let's get dinner. And I was like, what time? 7 p.m. weeknight. Like, first of all, just driving to the restaurant, like right in the middle of rush hour.
Yeah.
To go meet them.
Oh, God.
And then when you get there, like, it's already, like, very crowded, like, peak dinner time.
Yeah, no.
You know?
And it's always also good, like, whenever you can, to support a restaurant during their off-peak hours.
It's true, yeah. Also, you get the best service during those times.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. The only exception is, one time my friend wanted to do, like, an early dinner, so we went to, like, the Brazilian Churrascaria at 5 p.m.,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, the food is, like, always phenomenal there. But then I realized we were, like, the first person in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And a restaurant like that, you know, where they, like, bring out, like, new fresh meat.
Yeah, yeah.
The meat wasn't as fresh as opposed to, like, at a busy time.
Because it was yesterday's meat.
It wasn't yesterday's meat, but, like, it was meat, like, they grilled. And then there was, like, kind of, like, sitting there, you know.
Before
people got there, you know.
Yeah, they weren't doing it live.
If you're like eating there like during peak time, they're constantly grilling fresh new meat and then slicing it fresh and then bringing more fresh meat.
That's actually a good thing to consider when you go.
Yeah. So if I ever go back to like the Brazilian steakhouse, I will make a reservation during peak time.
I've been meaning to do a pão de queijo recipe video.
Pão de queijo is like the easiest thing to make.
It is. Have you ever made like the blender version?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Actually, it's one of those things I first started baking back in high school.
Really?
Yeah. Pão de queijo is literally like the easiest thing to make. Because in middle school, we had like our ESL class.
Yeah.
Yes, I was in ESL because, you know.
Well, yeah.
When I went to elementary school in Korea and came back to America, I forgot all English. We had like our food culture day. So then all the ESL students like brought food from our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Brazilian students, her name was Marcela, I think. She brought pão de queijo, and she brought, like, a big, giant thing of it, and I ate it, and I didn't know, like, what tapioca flour, so I just thought, like, the whole thing was so cheesy, because, you know, it's, like, that chewy, gummy
that
flavor.
Gooey, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, the best form of, like, cheese bread I've ever had, which it was. It was piping hot, but then, like, no one else touched it, so then she basically gave me, like, all of it to take home with me.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, so
as far as like breads go, though, that shit is heavy.
It is
like
heavy.
There's a reason why they like make sure that your table always has pão de queijo at the churrascaria, because like that stuff is like that stuff will fill you up.
But not only like it is heavy, it is also the best form of pão de queijo you'll have, because it's served warm in the bread basket.
Yes.
And literally, like, the flavor like that paired with the meat just tastes so good together.
Oh, so, so good.
And, you know, like, I'm all about, like, buffet, like, eating to enjoy it. So, you know what? I don't care if I just full up on...
Right,
just
right.
Meat. I will gladly eat the pão de queijo.
Yes, because, like, you're not getting that at home. But, so do you make the version that you roll it into a ball, or do you make the version where you pour it into a muffin tin?
I make the version where I pour into a muffin tin.
Okay, yeah.
You literally just, like, blend all the ingredients and just pour it in.
It's so easy. Then they come off like, they almost like, if you make them big enough, they come off like little Yorkshire pudding pão de queijo.
Yeah.
They're so good.
And you can literally use any cheese you have.
Yes. It's like a good way to use up cheese.
And then the texture and everything completely changes depending on what cheese you use, which is also a really fun way to experiment.
I think that would be fun to put some kimchi on.
I don't know about that kimchi, because kimchi is watery. So the water might have...
You'd have to squeeze it out.
Yeah, for sure.
You'd have to strain it.
But then, but then that also changes kimchi. You know?
You're such a purist.
It'll have to be like super, super ripe kimchi.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Even then, I think it's better. Just bake the pão de queijo and just eat it with the kimchi rather than trying to bake it in there.
Oh, no, no. That's what I meant. Like... Mm-hmm. Eating it and then you're putting it on top after the fact.
Yeah, but you meant like bake the kimchi into the pão de queijo.
Oh, no. That wouldn't work. It would just be soggy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried baking your own sourdough?
Making my own sourdough? Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I haven't. I've made no-knead bread before a couple of times, but I'm not a bread person. There's too much measuring.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I kind of want to like try it again. But I don't want to eat it.
Wait, you don't like sourdough bread?
I know, I love sourdough bread. I just shouldn't be eating sourdough right now when I'm working on my summer body.
Yeah, summer body 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'll just, when I come over, I'll eat the bread because there's nothing for me to do there for fitness wise except for run. So I get to eat all the carbs that I want when I'm over there.
Mm. What if I broke your foot and you couldn't run?
Huh? And then I can
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to break your foot.
Tanya Harding me.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. Should he talk about the current culture? Or
wait. Talk about what?
The current culture.
What current culture?
Like what's happening in the world right now?
That's your opening back from the break?
You know? Or maybe not. We might spiral out again.
We might spiral out.
As if we like didn't spiral enough. If you could teleport ahead of time, how far would you want to like teleport ahead to?
Do I only get one chance? Like you can't go back and you can't, no back takes you backsies, no yeah. Like.
You only get one chance.
Ooh, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I don't want to leave little John and my dogs behind. If I was like single and by myself, I'd be like, fuck it. Let's see like a bajillion years into the future or whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I would go like, if I didn't have anything that was tying me down or tying mm-hmm. me back, or yeah, that's not a good way to put it. But yeah, if that was the case, I would probably go forward like 100 years.
Well, okay.
Yeah. It would be like, it would be far enough that we would have done like a ton of stuff
mm-hmm.
or all of it would have been, or the world would have ended completely by then.
Mm.
But at the same time, like it's close enough that people wouldn't be like totally weirded out by like mm-hmm. my existence. Cause like if you go like 500 years into the future and whatnot, like you're dealing with a completely different species of person by that point.
Yeah. Interesting, like where our technology will be.
Mm-hmm.
And how much more dystopian our entire society would be.
I know. We were supposed to like, it's so funny, like people's idea of what the future was. Like I was looking at these architectural forms and mm-hmm. there's this architectural style called Guga. It is called Guga, G-O-O-G-A.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually see it in LA a lot. Like a lot of like those retro diners with the like, the pointy angles and stuff like that. It's like, and the bright colors and stuff. It's very idealistic and it's very like optimistic. And mm-hmm. people were like, oh, this is what the future is going to be. And so like, we're going to make all these like buildings like that, like the Space Needle.
How do you spell Guga?
G-O-O-G-A. The Space Needle in Seattle is that style. And as well as like the old-timey terminals that are like very swoopy.
Like so, the Jetsons.
Like the Jetsons. It's very, very Jetsons.
Yeah.
And yeah, back then, that's what their idea of like the future was going to be. It was going to be like, oh my God, everything's mm-hmm. going to be so great. And everything's going to be so brightly colored. Everyone's going to be so happy because we would have figured all this stuff out. And now it's just like, no.
No, it's only pretty much just a bunch of like
exactly. Richer? Megalomaniac billionaires who are just mm-hmm. like making robots because they don't really like people and don't really care what happens to people. So as long as it's just like them, their friends, and a whole bunch of robots, they're totally happy.
Sure. And then billionaires pay themselves out in like a crazy ridiculous amount of money while laying everybody else off.
Yeah.
While complaining that the work productivity isn't high.
Right.
And
They've just completely lost touch.
And complaining about people not wanting to work.
Right. Did you see...
While the minimum wage is still the same from what it was like decades ago.
Yes.
And people like fighting against the minimum wage increase.
Did you see Elon Musk's response to J.K. Rowling?
No, what did he say? Elon Musk has...
Just listen. So like J.K. Rowling was spewing off her like transphobic nonsense or whatever bullshit. Mm-hmm. And like it's gotten so bad that Elon Musk's response to one of her tweets was like, "While I agree with everything you say, have you considered like posting something like positive for a change?"
I mean, Elon Musk is not wrong.
He's not wrong, but he was like, when Elon Musk is telling you to like settle down,
mm-hmm.
or like maybe you should try like calming down a little bit. Like, that is hilarious. Oh,
my God. So funny. Yeah, J.K. Rowling, too.
She's been in a constant spiral like for like years now.
Like her hyper, it's almost like she's like hyper fixated on this thing. And she just cannot let it go.
She absolutely 100% is.
It's like you created this wonderful thing.
Yeah.
You know, and you became one of the wealthiest women in the world.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you know, like if I were, I would just retire and maybe just like write other books, yeah. other magical things.
Yeah.
That inspires her. Instead of on Twitter, just like.
But no, she has to. She has to fight and be out of touch. Honestly,
like, who are you fighting for?
I truly believe that once you become like that rich,
mm-hmm.
it's like a disease.
Mm.
Like it literally rots your brain because you become so out of touch. It's like you ever play like video games and you find like a way to cheat and they're not fun anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like a infinite money hack on like The Sims or whatnot. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. it's fun for a minute. You can buy whatever it is you want, but then like it just stops getting fun really quick.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like the same way for billionaires.
And then like nothing gives you dopamine, so you have to like resort to doing like extreme weird shit.
Extremely weird shit. Yes. Yes. Yeah. It like being a billionaire is probably like the infinite money cheat on The Sims, except like you feel like you earned it.
And with those billionaires, even just one of them has the power to change the entire world for the better.
Oh, totally.
But they won't do it.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to do with it when you're gone?
Yeah.
Like, the only way, like, even like Jeff Bezos' ex-wife, like, she can't give it away fast enough. But mm-hmm. she's like giving it all away. And then Elon Musk was like, it's not good for the economy when you're like donating so much money. He literally said that to her. And so she responded by like donating more shit.
Oh my God.
Like there are some good ones, but like majority of them are just like, no.
I mean, there are ways to like donate it, right? Instead, you're not just going to be like handing out money to people, but you're going to be like putting money towards it, like getting like plumbing for third world countries and make sure like the money goes in like the right places. Right. And
it's crazy.
It's literally not just like literally like handing everybody like a lump sum. Like that's not what people are asking for.
No, but not that that would necessarily be all that bad of a thing. I mean, I believe in universal basic income, but
mm-hmm. Socialism,
yeah,
communism.
I don't care what you call it.
Yeah, I don't know. The state of the world is very fucked right now. I also, Elon Musk, every time I hear like Elon Musk on the news, it is so funny to me. Like,
because, like, what is he up to?
Like, he alienated his original like audience completely.
Yeah.
You know, all these, you know, all the liberal people who was buying mm-hmm. his car because they thought they were saving the environment.
Yeah. And like, none of the incels are buying. He sold 4,000 Cybertrucks.
Abysmal.
And we know that because he had to recall every single one.
Isn't it like how, like, if it rains, they stop working?
I think it, like, voids the warranty if they put it through a car wash. Yeah. There's that. And, like, what the... And this makes me so nervous because I actually have a Tesla battery that in my house, because if my house is solar, and like I need to upgrade it, but I don't know if I want to stay with Tesla, but it's really expensive for me to like redo everything. But yeah, no, I don't know what's going to happen with that company. So I don't even know if it's worth it because he just fired his entire like supercharger team.
Yeah.
The one good thing about like the Tesla, the one like actually like really, really good thing about those cars. And he fires the team that is like, so it was like, dude, you're spiraling. Whoever is on the board of Tesla, I know it's like just stacked with friends of his probably, but like they need to get him the fuck off of that company.
Yeah. I mean, he's already like ran Twitter to the ground, you know?
He's run Twitter to the ground.
I mean, it's a Nazi Tesla. App. Like I said, now, you know?
Yeah, it totally is. And like I said, being that rich rots your mind.
But if you were to be a billionaire, though, do you think you'd be like out of touch? Realistically speaking?
Probably. People are always wondering like, oh, when is Rihanna coming out with another album? I hope she doesn't. I hope she doesn't. What's she going to sing about? Right.
She's raking the money right now.
Right.
And if she releases album, people are, no matter how good it is or no matter how amazing it is, there will be so many people criticizing her.
Oh, totally.
Left and right.
Left and right.
Like, the vocals aren't good enough, or like the song isn't good enough, or the choreography isn't good enough. The visuals aren't good enough. Why should she subject herself through that?
But also, like, as an artist, like, what is going to be her struggle now? What is going to be her, like, her motivation for it? She is, like, a CEO businesswoman. She is perfectly happy being, like, that successful person.
Well, do you have to struggle to make good art?
I do. Unfortunately, I do believe, like, I don't think you do, but it doesn't, like, it just seems like all of the really best art has, like, messaging that is attached to it somehow. Or it's been, like, you know, attached to some kind of adversity that is overcome. Which is why, like, rich people can still sing about heartbreak.
Because that's their biggest struggle.
But, like, you know, like, what do I care what, hold on. I'm going to think of a random celebrity. Oh, yeah. What do I care what, like, Brooklyn Beckham had to go through? Like, what if he was singing about something? It was like, okay.
Is Brooklyn Beckham a singer?
No, I don't know. He was, like, the first person that came to mind that was like, okay, who's, like, never really struggled?
I'm
not saying he has no struggles, but, like,
probably
relatable ones. I don't
know. Kim Kardashian and Kanye's baby. What's her name?
I mean, like, I think maybe if you pursued, like, a deep education, like, a deep social education, and you became informed and woke in a way to, like, the struggles of everyone else, and then you kind of, like, distilled that into your art. But even then, it's going to be, like, it's not a lived experience.
One way or another, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But I think, like, the mass appeal of art is its relatability, especially when it comes to, like, music.
To a point, but then when it comes to pop music, I feel like
a lot of times
people just want fun things that they could, like, dance to.
It's true. It's true.
Like, not all pop music has to be deep or, like, meaningful.
Not everything. Like, not everything has to be. Yeah.
And sometimes music is just, like, experimental just for the sake of being experimental.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
But either way, Rihanna, we understand you not making an album.
Yeah, we get it.
Yeah, girl. Live your life. I wouldn't make an album if I were you.
You're right.
We always say celebrities, you know, if they're rich enough, you know, like, we'd retire, not do anything. Well, Rihanna's doing exactly that.
Well, I mean,
she's not doing anything.
Busy with Fenty,
like,
yeah.
She doesn't need to be making music, so she's not making music.
Yeah.
You know? Even Ariana Grande.
What's she doing? Didn't she just put out another album?
No, but she's, like, not releasing music as much as, like, she used to.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there would always be, like, a song that's out by Ariana, like, that's being promoted. And now it's, like, more rare, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like that duet that she did with Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was fun.
Good power vocals, you know, coming together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have a listener question.
Oh, okay.
So this one is from Melissa. Hi, love the podcast and have been listening since day one. I have a question for you both. I work for a grocery store and I notice so much food and food products being thrown away because of being out of date or damaged. I'm wondering what stores could do to minimize the waste in food in the retail arena. If you have any thoughts or ideas, thanks and love you both, Melissa.
Unfortunately, that is up to the policy of the grocery store. And a lot of those grocery stores' policies is literally just to throw it all away. So if you're like ever desperate for food, you can go literally go dumpster diving next to a grocery store. And a lot of the times it's still unopened stuff.
And honestly, like, this is one of those things I feel like we have to start from, like, the fundamentals of, like, how America is built. And America is very, like, people are just looking for any reason to sue businesses, you know? So any product, you know, that is labeled over, like, the mark date, even though product itself is completely fine, someone could just claim that, like, I got sick from this product because they sold me an expired product. And then they will be, like...
And it's not even that.
Millions of dollars in damages. Like,
these stores will literally never donate any of the unless the place that store is in makes it illegal to throw away food that would otherwise be good, because expiration dates are completely arbitrary too. Like, most of the times the food that is being thrown away is just cosmetic purposes. And also a lot of food is thrown away before it even reaches a store. That's why, like, isn't it odd that every single apple you find in your grocery store is like perfect and round and like has no blemishes, doesn't have a single insect bite in it? It's because like the hundreds of thousands of apples that do got thrown out. So it's nothing new. It is a very, very broken system. More people should know about it. More people should be mad about it. And people should introduce legislation to like force these grocery stores to not throw away, not waste the food. Literally donate it. Like, they can literally donate it.
They can't even donate it either because...
They won't.
If someone got sick from the donated food, they could also get sued.
Oh, there's that too, yeah. There are rules. But even like canned goods and stuff.
Yeah, I know. It's fucked up, right?
Mm-hmm.
The world. We're spiraling again. We need to bring it back. So... can we personally do anything? The answer is sadly, fucking no.
There's really like not. Like, there's nothing, because it's the food that you don't buy.
Yeah.
Like, you can, and what are you going to do? Not go grocery shopping? Like, it's literally impossible. It's just one of those things where it's like we are forced to be part, we're forced to participate in a capitalistic society. And this is one of the things that really sucks about it, but like honestly, it's not up to the individual at this point. It's up to those people who are like in the system.
So yeah, I'm sorry for the deep dark answer.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, another question is from Isabel. I've lived in Portland all my life, but I've only recently come to realize so many of the restaurants, food trucks here are mediocre at best, specifically when it comes to Thai Mexican food. Do you have any recommendations for good restaurants in Portland? If not, could you recommend some creators that share really good Thai Mexican recipes? Thank you. So I don't know if I can make a recommendation that to someone who's lived here all their life.
Yeah, I've also never been to Portland.
You've never been to Portland?
No. Well, I stopped by. I had a layover there once.
Okay.
That's
Portland is a beautiful place, very lush.
Mm-hmm.
It's also a fun place to visit if you like hiking and doing nature things.
Like hiking, yeah.
But then you can come around the city, a lot of delicious food. And it's like a beautiful city to walk around in.
Nice.
Oh, and no sales tax.
Oh, interesting.
No sales tax in Oregon.
Such a random fact. But I mean, like, as far as not Thai, but Lao, our friend Sang is a good creator. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He makes like a lot of like Lao dishes.
And a lot of your favorite Thai dishes actually started off as Lao dishes, so.
Mm-hmm. And then also,
what is his thing?
Makes like a lot of like Thai dishes in his content.
Ooh,
too.
Pete Eats is good, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's Sang's Instagram?
Let me pull up.
SAENGDOUANGDARA.
Yes.
That's Sang's Instagram.
Yeah, he makes like a lot of like delicious like Lao dishes. And that's not exactly Thai, but it's like close in flavors.
Yes. A little funkier.
Yeah. And then she's a friend of mine, and she's not necessarily like cooking content, but she visits Thailand a lot, and she's Thai, and she introduces like a lot of like Thai dishes to people, and her name is Miso Hungry.
Oh, I love her.
And she's really sweet.
She is.
MISOHUNGRRY.
Mm-hmm.
And then she will show you like how to eat like traditional Vietnamese food, and you know, like a lot of like vlogs and her in Thailand.
Also, Chili Pepper sometimes cooks Thai food every now and then. I know he uses Thai chili pepper in like everything, but like Chili Pepper Cooks will make some Thai food sometimes.
Mm. Oh my God, I want Thai food now.
I know.
I feel like I haven't had Thai food in forever now that I think about it. Yeah?
I think the last time I had it was with you.
Oh, what did you get? We got the Popeye salad. In.
Yeah.
And the lob, was it?
Mm-hmm. Or,
and then we got one more thing. Do you remember what you ate?
I do not.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter. All right, so that's our podcast for the week, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. Why are you smiling like that, John?
I'm just smiling.
You have a condescending smile for some reason.
Why would that be a condescending smile?
It's a very specific smile that you do.
I was just smiling.
No, it was like it wasn't a genuine smile. It was
Then I don't know what face I was making.
Mm-hmm. You know exactly what you did.
I don't know. I hope you didn't screenshot it. It probably wasn't a very good face.
I mean, just like,
oh my God.
Any.
Wow. Wow. All right. Kidding. Good night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Follow us on our Instagram, one for the table. That's number one for the table. If you have any questions, let us know. Buy John's book, Kung Fu, out in everywhere where you can buy books, but support your local bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
The world is ending, but we might as well keep our local bookstores in place.
And buy Kim Chi's makeup, because the world is ending, but you still want to look good when it does.
Thank you. Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look good. But you don't have to if you don't want to. I don't know.